We should pray for the message. It's always good to pray for the message. You don't want to get bored, do you? So let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today through these words that I have, and I ask that you would equip them by your Spirit to be a word for us in our individual lives and maybe in lives of people we know. And I ask that you would bless it in that kind of way. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you today about how we lose battles and when we are dead and nothing seems to make any difference in our lives. I want to talk to you about a state of existence in which we live, in which we're alive physically, but essentially we are living a dead existence. Now, before I do that, I also need to tell you that I'm a Jimmy Buffett fan. I'm not a parrot head. I'm just a Jimmy Buffett fan. And 25, 30 years ago, I got to go. This is a true story. This has nothing to do with the message. I got to go to down to, I think it's right south of Nashville, Star Stadium. And I took a bunch of youth from our church down there from Kentucky and drove down there. Berta had went with me, and she had broken one of her ankles at the time, and so we had to move her around in a wheelchair. Let me tell you something about going to concerts. Take somebody who has got a broken ankle or something, because you get good seats that way. So I'm with this one. I'm the one pushing the wheelchair. All these kids, if you've ever been to that Star Amphitheater down there, they were about a mile and a half away from Jimmy Buffett, and you had to use binoculars to see him. We were in a room, the amphitheater like this, and we were about back where the last row is, and we were with the guys running all the sound system back there. I could have spit on Jimmy Buffett. I was so close to him. It was a great time. Yes, thank you. So anyway, but I'm a Jimmy Buffett. One of his songs in an album that came out recently, within the last 10 years anyway, is called Vampires, Mummies, and the Holy Ghost. And I have a short cut out of this song so you kind of get a feel for it. And I'll just let him talk to you.
Oh, rock and roll is a scary business. No hit records, no MTV videos, you'll never make it here. Scary.
Not! Let's do it, Carl Evers.
Looked in my laptop, what did I see? A flashing message said, today therapy. Rather walk through fire than converse with my shrink. But I'm getting better, that's what some people think. Talk about denial and dysfunctional things. Heads like a bell, some days it dongs and it dings. Your brain's played tricks on me, it likes to shift gears. Spend lots of money, but I'm tackling my fears.
Vampires, mummies, and the Holy Ghost, these are the things that terrify me the most. No aliens, psychopaths, or MTV hosts scare me like vampires, mummies, and the Holy Ghost. Well, I kind of agree with that. Vampires, mummies, and the Holy Ghost are the three things that scare me a lot as well. Vampires, people who are dead but not dead, and they suck the life right out of you. Know anybody like that? They feed on your life energy because they know you have life and they don't, and they want your life. And so then they're mummies. Mummies are people who are dead. They're wrapped up in all kinds of stuff, and they're wrapped up in the bondage of their dead situations in life. And yet they're still walking around, and there seem to be a rottenness about them. And if they touch you, they will infect you with their own rottenness. And then there's the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost scares me too, because it is the Spirit of God that makes me deal with the undead of the world in order to bring them back to life. And you know, I deal with dead people all the time. Well, they are dead spiritually anyway. They're somehow seeking life. They want the life of God, but since they are dead, they're unable to bring themselves back to life. And it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that true life is given. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that touches our lives, gives us life. The Holy Ghost scares me as much as the vampires and mummies of this world, because the Holy Ghost makes me touch the undead of the world. Let me describe to you the undead of the world, and maybe some of you are the walking dead right now, and maybe some of you have been there, kind of like I've been there. Maybe some of you will remember this message when you die and become one of the walking dead in this world. You know, I am called to teach faith and to talk about miracles and how God works in our lives. And I think I do that. But there come times when I am called to deal with the tragedies of life and I don't see miracles. And life is not only tough, but almost more than can be handled when one day at a time is just too long a time. There have been times when I get up in the morning, I try to pray, or I tell others to pray prayers of intercession, and all my prayers come out sounding like the croaking of a frog. And so the only idea that comes close to the idea of the walking undead is the word numb, where you have no feeling, basically. Nothing makes any difference. I don't care about anything because I'm really kind of dead on the inside, like a mummy wrapped up in my own dead bindings. And it's kind of like you get thrown into neutral. You come to the end of your rope. You feel like you just can't go on, but you know that you aren't going to quit, but it doesn't seem to make any difference anyway. Maybe some of you have experienced this undead condition. But I know I have over the years. Those of you who have experienced this kind of feeling probably have an idea of what I'm talking about this morning. And during those times, I have felt that I'm the world's weakest believer. And I've thought thoughts like this, or I actually have spoken them. Lord, do you wonder where I am today? I believe you, Lord. I believe your word. I believe all the things that I understand and have faith in. And Lord, I'm not going to quit today. At least not today. But Lord, I just feel dead. Dead on the inside. I don't care about anything. Nothing makes any difference. You're up there in heaven, Lord, and I'm down here inside the tomb. I'm dead. Now, during these times, nobody has been able to talk me into the idea that God has changed, and I believe the promises and the signs, and even so, I am totally unable to identify myself with any of them because I'm numb, I'm without feeling, I don't care, and nothing makes any difference. I'm dead. Or should I say undead, like a vampire or a mummy, because if you get close to me, I'll suck the life right out of you. And I'll steal your energy, or I will infect you with my own rottenness or disease. Now, I've been like that, folks. I'm supposed to be the guy up here talking, you know, rah-rah. But it's a time of spiritual limbo. In a lot of ways. Now, I expect you've been there. In fact, I know some of you have been there. And some of you might be there right now, for all I know. Do you know what I'm talking about? This means yes. Yes, good. Maybe I should ask this question. Are you there right now, anyone? Not only is it spiritual limbo, but you can't get any point of foundational faith established either at those kinds of times. Prayer doesn't come with any strength. You read the Bible, but even the parts that have great strength for you before, suddenly they used to speak words of faith to you. Now they're just kind of like straw. In the middle of those times, you can't remember the things that you ought to be praising the Lord for, or counting your blessings, which you know in your heart, but it doesn't make any difference. You don't care. You're dead. Or walking dead. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I know this rings a bell. Are you there right now? You see, am I talking to vampires, mummies in a graveyard of your life? So is there any word for the vampires and the mummies of this world from the Holy Ghost? Well, yes, there is, by the way. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us that Jesus became human in order to go through everything that we have gone through. Read with me Hebrews 4:15, will you? Here we go. For we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, and yet without sin. Jesus has been tempted so that he could help those of us who are tempted. Jesus was in every respect like us. He experienced everything that we have experienced. He has even experienced this state of being that I'm talking to you about today. He was dead. Let me ask you, what was going on with Jesus between the crucifixion and the resurrection? He fought the battle of the cross and lost, at least for a short time, he lost the battle. Can you see Jesus hanging on the cross in agony, and he cries out in his agony, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" I'm so glad he said it first. Why have you forsaken me? The battle was raging over the sin of the world. The life was being sucked out of him by the sin of all those undead people he came to bring life to. The rottenness of the world, the disease of sin was bringing death upon him. Father God, let it happen. The battle raged. Then Jesus cried out in his agony, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Jesus said, "I'm dying here. I'm in your hands, I'm dying." And the battle raged on. And the undead of the world, the vampires and mummies, people like you and me, we sucked the life right out of Jesus and diseased him with the rottenness of our own sin. And the battle raged on. And finally, Jesus, in the agony of his last breath, cried out, "It's finished." And I think he may have been saying as he was dying, "I'm finished. I quit. I die alone. I am forsaken. My Father, my God, is not in this at all. I'm dead, and for what?" You see, God let him die, and he was alone. He was forsaken, at least for the moment, on our behalf. As followers of Jesus, we are called to follow Jesus. Read with me John 12:26. Here we go. "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." You know, I did this series on the truth that I just finished last week, and actually, the ultimate truth is following Jesus. And this particular scripture really that. And the key in that is that Jesus said, where I am, my servant will be also. Disciples, we're called to be that servant. Where I am, my servant will be also. We are to do as he commands. We have this promise that we will be persecuted for his name's sake. We will live out much of the same things, same kind of things that Jesus experienced, from temptation to ministry to carrying our own cross. We have these promises, don't we? Where I am, my servant will be also. Disciples? Now, most of the time, when I think about my life following Jesus, even in his death on the cross, I think in terms of the experience of the crucifixion, something that I need to die to. It has to do with my self-denial or dying to self or taking up my cross on behalf of others. Something like that, anyway. Something that I have to die to, or some burden that I bear like a cross, and so I need to die in that sense. And those things do happen, and we are called to those kinds of things. In that sense, I think of the way that all hell broke loose over Jesus' head on Calvary and the battle that raged at that time. And there are times that all hell has broken loose around me, and I've been in major spiritual battles that have raged at times around me. Maybe you can identify with those kind of places as well in your own life. And I usually think of dying with Jesus as a parallel to his crucifixion. And I take up my cross and I carry it. And sometimes I even get crucified on it. We're called to follow Jesus, even to the cross. Where I am, my servant will be also. We will walk where he walked. The only difference is that our cross is tailor-made for each of us. But I would like for us to think for a couple of minutes about another feature of Jesus' death that we don't really think about very often. Where I am, my servant will be also. You know, we actually follow Jesus into the tomb. We probably don't think about that at all. It's that period of time followed by his death, by crucifixion, and the resurrection. The time inside the tomb. The dead days of Jesus, tomb days, the cold, long, dead, numb days of nothing. Those days when Jesus felt nothing, and he didn't care about anything. Those days when Jesus was dead on the inside. Those days of numbness when there was a body in a grave feeling nothing. The dead days of Jesus. Have you ever sat with the dead? When my father died over at Imboden Creek nursing home, I was called and went over there. And before the people from the funeral home and all that showed up, I was with my father for about 15 minutes when he was dead in that room. That's a surreal kind of experience, folks. Maybe some of you have had experiences similar to that. But he was dead, and I was sitting with the dead, sitting alone. Read with me Luke chapter 23, verses 50 to 56. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their purpose indeed, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a rock-hewn tomb, where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments, On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandments. What happened between the crucifixion and the resurrection? Let's sit with Jesus and watch. Because he said, where I am, there will be my servant also. He just lays there. The stone is rolled across the doorway, and we say, leave it open a little bit, please, because I don't want to be shut in here at all alone. Leave it open a crack. But it's shut all the way. And it's dark. It's pitch dark. You can't see anything. You don't hear anything. You have to get up and touch the body to make sure it's there because there's no breath sound in the room. It's pitch black. An hour passes, but it probably seems like an eternity. The silence is deafening. You start to imagine all kinds of things. The claustrophobia grips your mind like a vice, and all you want is to get away from this dead body. And the words of Jesus, where I am, there shall my servant be also. That echoes in your mind. Each minute seems like an eternity. It's a day seems like forever. You sit trapped. And then it happens. A presence. A light, blue-green presence. The thing you fear the most, a ghost, the Holy Ghost. It moves toward you and into you, and you're told to touch the body, which is now outlined because of the blue-green light emanating within you. And you touch the body, and then a yellow-orange fire spreads as an aura around the body, and there's movement. The dead sits up and says, thank you. Dead days inside the tomb. And the truth is, we have had those times also, haven't we? Dead days. Following Jesus will also lead you into the tomb experience, dead days. Times when we will feel nothing. We are just numb. We don't care. Nothing means anything. The Lord showed me something I'm going to share with you. He told me this. You have those kinds of times as well. That was a significant revelation for me when I actually received that. We don't just experience Calvary, which can be described as those times when we have a crisis encounter with the things we need to die to, or when we run on into the powers of hell and the flak is flying everywhere. But we also have times when there is just nothing going on. And we are numb. Dead days, just like the inside of the tomb. Those are the times when we were, what's wrong with me? Where are you, God? And the silence is deafening. I know in my mind, I understand with my heart that when I am in those times, I am alive in Christ Jesus, that God has not changed. I realize that he is faithful to his promises and that he loves me. I know all the right things to say. I've read all the books. I've read the Bible. I know what it means. But you know what? When they come out, they seem like so much straw. And they're being spoken by the waxen lips of somebody who is really dead on the inside. The words are there, the faith is there, the mind understands, but there is just no life, no spirit to the words. It was during one of those kinds of experiences, and I have those, by the way, because I'm just like you. I began to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying to me, you are experiencing an interim stage between the crucifixion and the resurrection. It's an interim state similar in nature to plants in winter or maybe a caterpillar in a chrysalis. You are experiencing an interim stage when the Lord is bringing you to a new time and a new life experience of resurrection glory in Jesus. But right now, you're dead. I've heard that. I understand the truth of that revelation for myself. And I hope you see that revelation for yourself in your dead days inside the tomb of your life. But even as I say that to you, I must say that I don't like tomb days. I don't like those numb dead days. I don't like to feel nothing. If there's going to be a resurrection anyway, well, why can't it happen right now? Jesus experienced the tomb. When he died on the cross for our sin, he said, "Father, I give up now. It is into your hands that I place my spirit." And Jesus went into a time when nothing moves. It was cold, dark, and the body was there, but the life was gone. Dead days inside the tomb. Now, the truth is, I live with you people. I've been here 17 years, but I was with that church down in Kentucky for 23 years, and I live with you people, and I have died with you people. I have been with you in sickness and disease. I've been with you when you are facing crises in your lives in so many different ways. So I know, you know what I'm talking about here. Tomb days is not just a personal experience. It's not just my experience. It's not just Jesus' experience, but it's our experience as people. There come times when we experience absolute helplessness. It is not despair necessarily or giving up. We are cast down, but we're not destroyed. All of us have various times have tomb experience, dead days. Sometimes we face them together, and sometimes we face them all alone. Whenever we go through life, such as it is, and experience futility and helplessness, we're overwhelmed by the death in life, and we're just plain numb like a dead person. And the Lord said very clearly to my heart that I say this to you, there are tomb days, but you're going to come to an hour of resurrection as well. But that you need to understand that the power is from God, and most of us don't realize that it's not of us when it will happen. I have experienced dead days. I know that many of you have as well, and I have heard what you say to me. I have heard these things. I was told that I have stage 4 cancer, and I just have a short time. I have been told. I found out my spouse was having an affair, and I never felt more alone in my life. It became clear that I had lost control of my addiction. I don't know how to handle it. The divorce papers arrived in the mail, and I could no longer pretend I could fix things. I've heard these from people like you. I was forced out of my 30-year job, and I had no idea what I was going to do. I feel like I've reached this point in my life when I have absolutely nothing left. And it turns out that for the first time in my life, Jesus became real. I know the illness that some of you face, and it looks pretty bleak. I know about your marriages. I know your job situations. I know your career situations. I know your financial problems, where things look pretty doggone dead. And you feel pretty dead yourself. The loss of loved ones, spouse, brothers, sisters, children, tomb days. And we're just the walking wounded. We could very easily be described as the living dead. What do we do in the middle of those tomb days? Well, hear this truth and know it. Resurrection life only comes out of dead days. Those are tomb days. So resurrection life is possible by the power of God in the midst of your dead situation. When I experience tomb days, I rest in that faith and I just keep walking. There have been times when I've stood up here and I'm in a dead period, but I just keep doing it. And I may stand up here and I may say, and it's just straw to me, but I do it. So when you experience tomb days, dead days, go through the motions. Praise God, read the Bible, pray and worship, even though it feels like it's nothing but straw. I have continued to do the messages when I hit those places in my life. I continue to do the Bible studies when I hit those places in my life. You may not feel any more alive necessarily at that point. You may still feel dead or numb, but I tell you the truth, on the basis of the Word of God, that you are headed for the resurrection, because God works for good for those who love Him, and only out of dead situations can resurrection occur. And we're all headed for that resurrection in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was crucified, dead, and buried. He rose from the dead, and you could rest in that assurance, even in those dead days. May He be praised. Let's pray. Lord, help us in those times when it just is dead, and we're dead. And we just pray for the power of your Spirit to bring new life, because we can't get it done of our own accord. In Jesus' name, amen.